Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPM number 86. That's by Shmini Shir for Men, Shir number 86. So we mentioned that the one side effect of infatuation, nature's love potion in the brain, is the lowering of defenses. What happens is in that time, without resistance, you feel very comfortable talking to each other, listening to each other, touching, being touched, being thoughtful, asking for help, receiving help, expressing thoughts, expressing feelings, spending private time together, being sensual, being sexual. In other words, being intimate and comes with a feeling of a natural high. You feel high from being intimate with one another. You'll find your former behaviors are different. For example, you could be a very big introvert, but during this time you will talk more. But after the effect is no longer there, goes back to the former behavior, and that introvert will revert back to talking less. And the practical person that normally in the infatuation period gave flowers stops bringing flowers. You go back to that norm set of your personality. And then all of a sudden, both of you hop, okay, we were neglecting, we were gaga over each other, and now we have to deal with other parts of our lives that we've been neglecting, things, people to visit, or appointments, and this and that, work. And then they feel the relationship between the two of them, disappointment, the low spot of the relationship that we talked about. Common sense tells us that a love relationship, unlike other relationships, have normal highs and lows. But when the low comes here, it'll always cause concern. It's connected to our sense of security, and any threat or change to it creates anxiety. So that's why you get anxious. This anxiousness or this low period and not being familiar about the truth of what love is, that this is a normal progression. So when these low spots come, you may manage your disappointment in two different ways. One is called pursuing, and one is called distancing. Pursuing is, a pursuer is the one that commands more time, more attention, more information they want on the relationship. They talk more, they ask more questions, and they're very sensitive to any form of rejection, which is interesting because when they pursue and pursue and pursue, they will get rejection. But they don't hop that. So that's the pursuer personality. They talk, hakachinik, like they say, often nag, so on and so forth. Distancers do the opposite. When a distancer gets anxious, they quiet. They withdraw. They focus on something else. They want time alone. They want to go at their own speed, which is not fast enough for the pursuer. They're sensitive to anything that they may feel threatened, that you're trying to control me. Of course, the distancer's withdrawal invites a control. That's part of the problem. So basically, when these pursuing and distancing behaviors show up, that is when the post-infatuation is. And to manage it is to learn from each other, learn what these styles are, and you have to do the opposite. For meaning that a pursuer needs to be quiet and withhold, and a distancer needs to be more forthcoming. They do the opposite of their nature. A pursuer needs to learn from the distancer to be more accepting, to show more patience, to focus more on the positive in the relationship. Because what we're wired to do as pursuers, if we are a pursuer, we will criticize, we will nag, we will whine, we will complain, which will drive the distancer further and further and further away. And distancers are wired, they want to see control. So they're rigid, they stonewall, they resist, they minimize problems. Right? So that's their problem. And then it varies. For example, one person, the same person, could be a pursuer in the living room, which means when it comes, let's say, to money things and budgets, they're very aggressive with their husband or wife. And in the bedroom, they're a distancer, they're more passive, they're withdrawn. So that's basically the issue and how the patterns work with one another. One has to be very, very careful not to let it affect you in a negative way. So One thing is also to realize that a lot of your negative patterns could be based on your childish, like, memories of what it was being younger, and you're using unhealthy coping mechanisms now when it's not necessary. See, we have early impressions of love that came from human beings that were not healthy. Therefore, what we come to the conclusion is that we don't want to, most of that interaction was negative. Most of the interaction with people we loved were negative. They were not positive. So you'll associate negative characteristics with love because they're familiar, right? When you're infatuated, you tend to focus on your husband or wife's positive qualities and you ignored the negative. You saw things through rose-colored glasses. And even when the negative trait was there, you take a positive spin, it's no big deal. But now, after infatuation, it's a whole different ballgame. The euphoria disappears. The nature of the negative traits become more evident. You start complaining more. You'll be more hypersensitive to it. And you'll even see it when it's not there. You'll start giving the opposite of Dandekav Schus, and you'll be Dandekav Chayva. And that is a terrible thing. So one has to be careful to do that, to understand that. He brings as an example, someone grew up with a controlling father, and the mother did little to protect her. And what happened was, is that she married a person that had a 5-year-old daughter, and there was fights between them. And she felt that the ex-wife of her husband was controlling the situation, and any conversation that the husband had with his ex-wife regarding the children made her go crazy. But understanding her past experiences, that she felt rejection through the course of her life, made her understand better. And then once she learned that, so when the husband, was negotiating with the ex-wife, she calmed down. She realized it's a normal interaction in this family situation. You have another couple as an example. Unfortunately, that one of them, they both were in the remarriage stage, but the wife remarried because basically the what happened was the husband. His first marriage, his wife was unfaithful to him. His wife had cheated on him, caused the divorce, and now he remarried. Problem is, because of that trigger, once the infatuation left, and the new wife, who was loyal, faithful, but she tended to other responsibilities, or to go to other, interact with people that she had to, her husband became extremely jealous, accused his wife of infidelity. Now, at first, she was patient and reassuring, built trust, but his jealousy got so much into him. He got so disruptive and destructive in the relationship, and he didn't get help. So they ended up divorcing. In the meantime, it's really so clear what his problem was. He was burnt and he was hurt by his first wife cheating on him. So he looks at it and worries that it'll happen always again and again. And in the meantime, this poor wife is totally innocent of it, and she has to get dragged into the drama. So this is where you have to be careful to not allow your past dramas influence you in a negative way. An important method to handle perceived negative traits in your husband or wife is to really look at yourself in the mirror. If you see a negative trait in your husband or wife, you ask yourself, how am I like that? Do I have any of those negative traits? Right? We tend to dislike the traits of our husband and wife who live with us. Or we are, we tend to be hypersensitive about that. But we have to look ourselves in our mirror, take in the inventory. Do we have some of those midos that self? Because there is a rule in Chazal, kol ha-poisel b'muv ma-poisel. Right? If you're saying a defect, you have some of that defect in you. Some of it is in you. Even with tzaddikim, See, but in tzaddikim, it's not literal, which means that, let's say, a tzaddik became aware of a gili araya situation, that someone committed adultery and he had to deal with the shayla, right? That does that mean, oh, you look at yourself in the mirror, Bashem says, you see something bad, look at yourself in the mirror, and Paschal, I also am an adulterer. It's not true. You know you're not. The tzaddik knows he's not. The tzaddik knows he's clean from that. But what the tzaddik does is, he sees in himself, this was an inyan of, let's say, gili araya, of immorality. I have to look deep into myself if I see even a subtle remnant of that weakness in myself. That is what it is. You know, then that's where the healing begins, and you become much, much less judgmental. You ask yourself, that negative behavior that drives me crazy, I see in my spouse, do I have any of it? Usually you'll find some form of it. Defensiveness, you have to be careful about. You know, if you cling and if you try to cling when you shouldn't cling in Hakka Chinik, your partner, your husband or wife will pull away. If you nag, you will get procrastination. If you machavek your husband or wife, you'll feel anger or resentment. Ignore their needs, you won't get your needs, respected either. You ignore his needs, she'll ignore your needs, vice versa. It goes both ways. This second stage of love, this concept of post-infatuation, has valuable, valuable lessons. So in that colder spell where the feelings aren't there or aren't so strong, number one advantage, it gives you a chance to truly know yourself as well as your husband or wife without the influence of this love cocktail or this chemically induced infatuation. It can be delightful infatuation. It could be madrig, you could channel it the right way, but it does not provide an accurate image between a husband and wife, what it's like in the real world. They simply don't know. And the key really is to learn where we're at, to learn about Amidas, to ask ourselves, what do I need to do to help to get there? How could I help my spouse? What activities do I enjoy or we enjoy together? What goals do we share? All of this is very important. Love is not infatuation. Love has natural highs, natural lows, and happiness comes from treating one another in a loving manner through it all. I'm going to repeat that line again. Real love has natural highs and lows, and happiness comes from treating one another in a loving manner through it all. That is so important. So you see here how easy it is to keep the relationship satisfying, to turn that low libido, make it high in the extent that you acclimate to that. Every negative thought and behavior in your relationship, it takes stages like these that we talk about in these shiurim to bring them back. You bring them back, the negative thoughts disappear, the chinas sinim schinim go away, and we'll be shown the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen. Bracha and Hatzlacha.